GalaxyCon Live is the place for you to hear about fandom from the celebrities who bring geek culture to life. Welcome, friends and fans, to another edition of GalaxyCon Live, where we are bringing the convention experience directly to you. And today, we are going back to the days of cable television with the stars of Cartoon Network. So without further ado, let's flip the dial and see who we find. Our first guest is an actor whose credits include Law & Order, Wonder Chosen, and Third Watch. Today, he joins us as the voice of our favorite pink pooch, Courage, from Courage the Cowardly Dog. Please welcome back Marty Grabstein.
Woo!
Hey, Marty, how you been, boss?
I'm great, man. I'm terrific. Good to see you. Good to see you again, Patty.
Absolutely. Good to have you here. And
we know each other.
We did a wonderful event last year, and we weren't allowed to talk about the Scooby-Doo crossover because it hadn't been announced yet. And the subject actually came up. Wouldn't it be neat if Scooby-Doo and Courage crossed over? And then you all sort of got, you all got tight-lipped.
We were very tight-lipped. We were good. We were doing our job. Warner Brothers did a better job of, you know, promoting the darn thing, but that's okay. We're going to be positive on this event.
It's out there. It's not going anywhere. If anybody is unaware and haven't seen it yet, go check it out. It is available on a fine streaming service whose name I won't mention. Because here we're here to talk. We're not talking about streaming today. We're talking about the halcyon days of cable television and actually flipping channels. And next, she is an actress whose credits include Cow and Chicken, The Adventures of Jimmy Neutron, Boy Genius, and Tiny Toon Adventures. Today, she joins us as the voice of Dexter from Dexter's Lab. Please welcome Candy Milo.
Hello. Hi, Patty.
Hey, Candy. How are you?
I am awesome. Thank you. I'm excited to be here. Talk about remote controls and flipping channels.
Absolutely. And channel surfing when that was a thing.
Yes.
Absolutely. Candy, I'm so glad to finally meet you. I've been a great admirer of your work. You've voiced some of my favorite Warner Brothers characters, including Witch Hazel, one of my personal favorites.
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm a Cartoon Network Warner Brother girl. You know, we did Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends on that, and I played multiple. I mean, I think just the vibe of Warner Brothers / Cartoon Network, that's my jam. I'm allowed Saturday morning. I'm the reason your parents hate cartoons. That's what I
want to say. And absolutely. And next, she is an actor whose credits include Curious George, Shaolin Showdown, and an Emmy Award-winning performance in Transformers Rescue Bots. Today, he joins us as the voice of the title character of Johnny Bravo. Please welcome Jeff Bennett.
Woo! Oh, yeah, baby. How you doing there, Patty? You got my old hair from my cartoon.
Not as poofy.
Getting there.
Well, actually, I've got a comb over of Jack Lord proportions trying to cover the bald spot. Jeff, I'm a huge fan of yours from the absolute get go. I am especially a huge fan of your version of Captain Marvel and especially the Joker from Brave and the Bold, a series I absolutely adored.
Just like Candy said, a lot of the '90s was really a lot about Cartoon Network. I mean, Oh, What a Cartoon, and It's All Coming Back to You. All of that good stuff, you know.
Right.
And Warner Brothers, we just all exchanged Joker roles, you know, for years. So, I mean, the 90s were beautiful. They were a beautiful time. Incredible. Back when you could actually switch channels, as you were saying.
Yeah, exactly.
The cable days, yes. Where's my cable?
Halcyon cable.
The Halcyon.
Right. Yes. The Halcyon cable. Yes, and now it really is all coming back to you. So,
Hey, I want my MTV. Next, speaking of music, she is an actress and singer whose body of work includes Gem, An American Tale, Five Old Goes West, and the highly undervalued Back to the Future animated series. Today, she joins us as the voice of Blossom from the Powerpuff Girls. Please welcome Catherine Cavanini.
Oh, I forgot about Back to the Future series.
Oh, yeah. That goes, we're getting into the 80s territory, but that's how long I've been around. So anyway, Catherine, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for having me. It's so great to see some of my old buddies and lovely to be here. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely glad to have you here. And I just want to say, I watched it again several months ago, and Dreams to Dream is such a wonderful, it's such a wonderful rendition. It really, really, absolutely did a fantastic job in that role.
Anytime I get the chance to sing, and I know Jeff sings, Candy sings, EG sings. I don't know if Marty sings, but it's such a pleasure. And you know, it's such a privilege. You know, our job when we go, it's so fun, and we love it so much. And to get to sing on top of all that is always like I'm like in absolute heaven. So thank you.
Oh no, thank you. And finally, she is an actress and singer whose roles include Pee-wee's Big Adventure, Avengers: Earth's Mightiest Heroes, and of course Rugrats and its sequel All Grown Up. Today she joins us as the voice of Buttercup of the Powerpuff Girls. Please welcome E.G. Daily.
Yes.
Oh, EG, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine, are you?
I am, again, a huge fan. You've worked with three of my all-time favorite genre directors: Tim Burton, Rob Zombie, and Savage Steve Hollins.
Yes, they're all so genius. Yeah, I feel super lucky to work with all of them. And all very different, but all had that same kind of like super genius thing about them that you were like, that guy's a genius. You're like Tim Burton, Rob Zombie, they're all very different though. So cool.
Oh, yeah, again, again, a great body of work. And thank you all. And thank you all for joining us here today on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Our team is going through the chat room right now, pulling out the questions for us. In the meantime, I just want to put this out for myself and all the fans in the audience. That period of Cartoon Network is definitely, and just now, really being looked upon as a really magical and innovative time where it seemed like the powers that be let the creators be the creators and really let everything go through. And again, so much body of work: Powerpuff Girls, Dexter's Lab, Courage, Johnny Bravo, Samurai Jack. There's so many great stuff that people are still talking about. So on behalf of myself as an animation fan and our audience, I thank you all for your talents, and I thank you all for your professionalism, and I thank you all for the performances you brought to those roles and all the other roles you've done either in front or behind the camera.
Thank you.
Thank you. That's thank you. Lovely. Thank you.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. My pleasure.
Can we whoop your hiney? That was
great. You can, but Marty's first.
The eldest statesman of the group.
let me throw this out or get the questions ready. For each of you, what's been the fondest memory that you've taken from being a part of, again, that curious period of the Cartoon Network years?
Oh gosh, who wants to start first?
Marty?
I'll just jump in real quick. That I will tell you that being able and reached out to essentially by John Dilworth's assistant, who was a good friend of mine, Reese Newirth, to bring me in to see this incredible, brilliant genius of a guy who was absolutely insane, and to be able to, and I say that in a loving way, John, to be able to kind of participate in something that was so imaginative at the at one level, very kind of like something I'd never seen before, and yet at the same time, grounded in some of the old great cartoons of yesteryear, albeit some of the Warner Brothers cartoons, to be able, you know, the great Looney Tunes cartoons, which were my favorite of all time to this very day. The idea to be involved in something like that and be able to breathe life into a character with all that wonderful genius behind me I was honored, really.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I'll have to say, like, can I speak? Is it okay?
Yes.
Hey guys, so I'd like to say what was also beautiful is what I loved about working with Catherine Cappadini and Tara and that whole gang was when we did Powerpuff Girls, we got to work at Cartoon Network. So you'd have to walk through the doors at Cartoon Network and in between all the artists actually drawing and doing art. And it was something really sweet about that because everybody was in the same building at that. There were points, right, Kathy? It was just
Yeah. They were down the hall. We could just go chat with them or they'd come pop in. And then we got to work with great people like, you know, Jeff came in and did some roles, and Phyllis Diller, Mark Hamill. I mean, just we had the most amazing people come in to do roles with us. And then we also, EG, Tara and I all had our babies at that time. So we, you know, we were all nursing, EG in the booth. I nursed outside of the booth, but Anyway, but you know, we had our children together. We grew up together. We, you know, Tom Kenny, Roger Jackson. We just had such an amazing cast and amazing time. And, you know, and then, you know, we got to guest on other people's shows, you know.
Like, well, and that was the beautiful thing about, like, that whole What a Cartoon series, that Johnny Bravo, Powerpuff Girls, Cow and Chicken, they all came out of that, you know, started out as shorts. And I remember doing that thinking, well, I hope we can do more of those. And then, you know, cut to like a year later, I'm in the parking lot and Jonathan Winters is walking up to me with his little medical bag.
Wow.
And he pulls out of his pocket something, and I go and I start to speak. He doesn't know that we're working together. We're just in the parking lot, you know, getting ready to go into Hanna-Barbera. And I look at him and I'm just like, I know I'm hypnotized. I go, hello, Mr. Winters. He goes, you ever seen one of these? And I look down and I go, no. He says, that's a Buckeye. You want to know the history of the Buckeye? Then he starts telling this incredible story about how the Buckeye came to be. And, you know, I was like, I'm in a dream. I'm in a dream. I'm standing in the parking lot outside of Hanna-Barbera talking to Jonathan Winters about Buckeyes as he carries a medical bag. And then we just walked in and started doing the show.
That's how we felt with Miss Phyllis Diller. Ha ha!
Yeah.
Oh my God. She was amazing. She came fully made up, beautifully dressed from that era. You know, that's what they did. And she was like, took pictures with each one of us separately afterward. She was just like the consummate star. It was just the most amazing experience, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was great. It was one of the best.
That's what people way before. This is from people from the 60s, geniuses, comic geniuses.
Oh, God, yes, yes.
To work with. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Very exciting.
I think the crossover is huge from that time, that there was an incredible freedom at Cartoon Network. Our creators were in the room with us. Some of them were voice directing their own shows, and they knew their sound and they knew what they wanted. But, you know, we were all appeared on everybody else's show. And I think that's where fans got the idea that it was a closed business. And it really wasn't. We just all had the same senses of humor, and we were free to be ourselves. And we loved working with one another. And when the celebrities came in, you know, and I was also, I don't know if I was on your Johnny Bravo when, I don't know if I was playing a small role, Jeff, when Jonathan Winters, but I was in the room. So it must have been that I played like one of your hot chicks. But
yeah, yeah. Like I know. All of you played hot chicks at some point during
the show. Yeah, it was just a
even Marty. Yeah.
I dated everybody, including Courage.
But I think that's what was great, is that they were as much in awe of what we did as we were of what they did. And it was just, it really was magical. And you know, it's so funny, Ej, because I was thinking the same thing. For me, the animators in the same building where you could go up and you could see the kids with headphones, and they were kids, and they're drawing and then listening to you and then drawing. And I would say it was as much a thrill to see them doing that as it was for them to like come up behind them and do either Dexter or Cheese in their ear. And they were just thrilled. But it was, I think everybody was so dang talented that it was insane. You never felt like anybody was nepotistically hired. Everyone cut their teeth. Everyone made their bones. And the What a Cartoon started at Hanna-Barbera. They did a ton of these shorts, threw them up. And then I was going to say, like a year later, all of a sudden I'm doing Kenny and the Chimp with Tom Kenny, or I'm doing Cow and Chicken as the mom and the teacher. It was just one of those things where you never knew what was going to happen, but it was always going to be funny. Always.
Right, right. We auditioned at Hanna-Barbera for Powerpuff Girls when it was called the Whoop-Ass Girls. Do you remember that, E.G.?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, years earlier, we did the audition maybe I don't know, 6-7 years earlier or something.
Yeah, and Kath Soucy played the original Bubbles, and then she was on a million shows. So they said, you know, we want somebody who's, you know, not on so many shows. And of course, they picked Tara, who then had like 8, or it became like 16 shows at one point. So, you know, so whatever their idea was didn't really work. But yeah.
We did that pilot years and years before we actually got started.
Yeah, it was weird.
I didn't realize it was that big a gap between.
There was a huge gap. And I said, you know, remember that show you auditioned at Hanna-Barbera? And there was like, you know, we did it years. I think it was.
You got it.
Yeah.
No, I got it.
7 years later, you got the bar.
I remember getting the call, and I'm like, that show that was about meat, like there was a lot of stuff about meat in the Whoop Ass Girls. You remember that? And I was like, the meat show? And I was like, I think I remember that.
Do you want to hear? Okay, here's a really great thing. Who remembers auditioning reel to reel? That was Tiny Toons that I went in. It was my first audition. Wow. And I remember going into this closet. And then I was with William Morris. And I remember going into this closet and somebody being very quiet in the corner going like this. And moving
the razor blade
to reel tape and razor blading it. And I remember when I auditioned, he was like, and now say take 2. I can cut it out. Literally. Cut it out his talk.
Right.
And I thought, oh my God, and here we are now. We can pull up our voices at a clip. So back then when they were like, you're going the meat show, I was like, by the time I got Sweetie on Tiny Toons, I was like, what was Tiny Toons? I don't even remember auditioning for that thing. It was a year and a half. Now I could pull it up on my phone. And say,
exactly,
oh, I remember
which
that
so
voice.
Great, right? Yeah, to remember what you did on the audition.
Thank you.
All right, we're gonna do take 2 and go.
But yeah, I remember actually doing the recording and having to wait, you know, 5 minutes while he's going, no, I got it. And then it goes back and it's okay, and it's got the whole thing, and then you're ready to go. But it took 2 to 3 minutes or so. And to get back where you were.
Literally meant cut and paste.
Yes.
Cut. Right. That's where they meant that.
Cut with and all paste. The buttons. Yes.
All of the buttons. And the machine was like the size of a small oven, you know, like reel to reel. They were giant and they were not cutting. They were auditioning all the women for that character. And the head slate was, this is Sweetie. And then everybody did it and he would cut. And then they would send that big reel to reel in. I remember it. Remember the place on, not Magnolia, but Burbank Boulevard, where they had all the demos that were reel to reel on the wall?
Yeah. The voice caster.
Yep. And that was wild. And that's, so that's how far back.
Yeah, Sue Booth's demo was still on the wall.
So it was Tresses.
Yeah.
And now here we are. This way for demo. Now here we are, the 21st century, and everybody is doing auditions on their phones.
Yeah.
Well, enough boomer talk. Let's move on.
Now we all have to have recording.
Are everybody's knees okay? How's your lower back? That's where we are.
It's gonna rain. I feel it in my back.
That's right.
We are good to go to audience questions. So thank you for indulging my capricious curiosity. Let's go ahead and roll our first one. And this one from Dante wants to know, what was everybody's favorite cartoon character growing up?
Bugs Bunny, without a question.
Daffy Duck.
Which version of Daffy? Crazy Clampet Daffy? Okay, or Malicious Greedy Daffy?
Malicious Greedy. More malicious.
Hyperactive Daffy.
Yeah.
I'm rich.
Go. Down. My.
My favorite was Robin Hood, though. When he did the yikes and the way. That was my favorite.
Yeah, absolutely. So
I did do that for a while, but it never made it to the actual movie.
I really like the old Billy West pictures. Lady and the Tramp. I remember we'd have
greatest.
We'd go out to the theater and we'd watch Lady and the Tramp. I really love that.
Stop it.
Careful, they have a warning about that scene now.
Yeah. Right?
Oh God, that's right.
That's fine. Catherine, what did you have a favorite growing up?
You know what? I did not watch a lot of TV growing up, to be quite honest. So I don't know. I'm thinking, you know, I do remember watching the Warner Brothers cartoons a lot. And I, you know, Mel Blanc was the genius of all time. Yeah. So I would say, you know, any of his characters. I did, of course, love Bugs Bunny is probably one of the most fun. But yeah. So
there you go.
No one wants you, Catherine.
I'm just gonna try to fix my lighting. Continue.
No problem. Go right ahead. And Dante, great question to start us off with. Thank you. And what do we have next from Corey? I'm sure you've been asked this before, but we'll get it out of the way. Out of all the characters you have voiced, do you have a favorite?
Wow.
Cheese from Foster's Home for Imaginary Friends. My favorite. Cheese.
Yep.
Yeah. Cheese would be it. And then, yeah, I like chocolate milk. Followed by the flea from Mucha Lucha, which was a big favorite of mine. Yeah. The flea was weird.
There you go.
No, I'd have to say Johnny's right up there. And then I enjoy
doing Samson because he's such a pathetic character from Camp Lazlo because he just always got pooped on a lot. And that was a fun.
And I love them all.
Galaxy Con.
You know, it's like the old Buddhist thing of what's your favorite thing? What I'm working on now, you know. And it's I love whatever I'm doing at the moment too. So I think there are a lot of great voices that we all do that, you know. It's hard to choose, but yeah.
I would say for me, it's obviously Tommy Pickles, you know. Hey, we started you. And if we started you because he's just so sweet. But then I also love doing like Diz on Starship Trooper. She was a real tough chick. So I like also going from a child to a woman. And then I also did one character named Germ Girl. I don't even remember what show it was, but she was this weird
Germ Girl.
Sexy germ who loved to get near people. And then she'd infect them with a cold.
I like this character probably not a lot of people know, named Carl from Broken Ages. She was a kind of a mom in this cloud colony. So she would be like, trust me, when you hit 40, you're going to love a pair of shoes like these. And then I loved, of course, Blossom is, you know, Powerpuff Girls is one of my favorites, of course, but everybody knows that one. So.
I love her too. She's my sister.
And then I did a character named Toodle's Mom. Oh, they're so adorable, Sid. You know, different characters that we play throughout the time.
For me to say, because other than a few little kind of small things, Courage is, as far as voiceovers, is really the, I wouldn't even normally put myself amongst this esteemed group of skilled voiceover artists.
But your voice is so fantastic.
Artists? You guys are! So yes, Courage is my favorite. For me, on camera has always been the thing. And so vast majority of the stuff I've done, you know, character work on television, independent films and all that stuff. So Courage, you know, kind of wins out. And Courage kills me because of not so much about my unbelievable skill in doing it. I did a nice job, but really... The important thing about Courage is how it really reached so many people. When it reached them, I see people at conventions and they're in tears. They're moved by the spirit of this little terrified dog that somehow faces his fear and, you know, kind of jumps up and rises to the occasion. It's kind of really exciting, you know, to be able to have participated in something that made a difference in a lot of people's lives. So that, you know, for me.
There you go.
Yep.
Yeah. There you go.
Right on.
Absolutely. Thank you, Corey. Great question. Oh, E.G., Bump in the Night. That was where Germ Girl's from.
Oh, thank you. Oh, my God. Thank you.
Bump in the Night. Wow.
I refer to that
That's going back, too.
And he's on his research.
That was Rob and Jim, right?
Yeah. Thanks for
that's right.
Was that a fan or did you figure it out?
I looked it up.
I loved it. Okay, thank you.
I'm sure somebody. I can't see what I was saying in our chat room, but I looked it up.
You know, honestly, sometimes, I don't know if you guys can relate, but sometimes we do a lot of different characters over the years, right? So one time I went to a con and they made my big poster that goes behind our table that we signed for, and I went there and I got there and they. I looked up at my poster. I was like, I think they made a mistake. And they put this character on my poster that honestly, I had never seen the character and I'd never watched it once I recorded it. And I was like, I think you guys made a mistake on my poster. And it was actually a character that I had done. I think it was like, I was like, yeah, that's scary when that happens, when you can't remember which show.
That's cool. Right.
But that's awesome because that means we're doing it. That happened
too. I don't think that's right. No, this, look it up here, Google.
The kid was like, EJ, I love that character. I was like, I don't know if that's me. And then he was like, it is. Here, listen. And I was like, oh gosh, that is me. You know, so thanks for the fans, because I wouldn't know half the things I do weren't for the fans reminding me.
True.
It's nice to have enough work that you forget some of the smaller stuff. You know?
It really is, though. It really is, right, guys? Yeah.
But you know, that's why, Patty, that's why they call it a career. You know, it's like, it's sort of nice, but we're not lucky. We're hardworking, and it's great to be cast. But this is why it's called a career in voiceover, because we work really, really hard to do that, and we keep it up even through COVID.
Yeah, and you don't want to get so fixed on you. I find for myself, I just try to be present. Like I do my next job, the next job, and the next job. And then I sort of forget. And then sometimes I can reminisce and go, wow, I did all these beautiful jobs I'm so grateful for. But I don't hold on to everything, and I just keep moving forward, which is kind of why I kind of go, I did a lot of these cool jobs, and be reminded that we have done a lot of work, and we're grateful, and we're blessed.
And that's why, that's why it's hard. You know, to say, it's like, what is your favorite character? It's like, oh,
what I'm doing now.
You know, that week in September. Right. Everything was beautiful at that session, whatever it was, you know. It was
so many times. The sessions that we used to be able to do.
Oh, yeah, those. We were actually together,
You're all working professionals. And again, work is work. And it's all about getting the next gig and everything else. Mm-hmm. And that's the nice thing about events like this. It does enable you. It enables you guys the luxury of personal nostalgia.
Right.
And shameless self-promotion.
That too.
At the same time.
Yeah.
I love Marty Grabstein. I just want to put that out. I love you.
Absolutely.
I do. I love you.
And let's roll another one. And here's one from Jason, who wants to know, does anybody have a favorite behind the scenes or a booth memory from recording?
Oh. I don't know if I can say mine.
I usually tag that onto you that you can repeat in a PG environment.
I can, but it was kind of an old story that I had heard. And it's also another Hanna-Barbera when we were working there at Hanna-Barbera. And,
I'm in the picture with you.
Well, you know what? I'm going to change because it has to do with Carol Channing.
I'm looking on my phone right now for this picture.
She used to wear these very loud clothes, and by loud, I mean they would make sounds on the mic. So she would be talking, she'd do her lines, and it was wonderful, but you would hear as the engineer. So they'd say, can you take off some? First, it was the jewelry. Can you take off some of the? Oh, okay, fine. I'll take the jewelry off. And so she takes that off. You still hear it, and I say, I think it's actually your outer layer that's making. She, oh well, that's not a problem. I'll just take this off. And she she goes into the little closet. It was sort of in between the engineering room and the exit, but she kept the door open, and she just took her top off, and she was not wearing anything underneath, and bent over. And I remember Brad Garrett was there that day. Were you there that day?
I have
Candy?
A photo. Yes, there's us.
Oh my god!
Oh
my god! That's amazing.
That's the booth behind at Hanna-Barbera, and I can't find on my phone the picture of Jeff and Brad Garrett. But I had to hug her because she was my hero. But she had on a fabulous black lace bra, and I want you to know, Jeff, she didn't even blink. It was like, maybe it's my top. Whack! And I was like,
And Brad Garrett looked over and it was like, I can't unsee that. I was like, I could not breathe for about 2 minutes.
It was like the scene in Skidoo when she strips down.
Right.
I'm just saying she knew how to do it.
She went outside and ate fish with brine out of an igloo.
Wow.
That was a very interesting day.
That was like never forgotten that day. Never.
Absolutely. Never. Wow. I don't know. Maybe I can try to top that, but wow. Who's got another
That's
one?
That's my favorite moment. We have the same favorite moment.
Right.
Okay. I think
Powerpuff, there's two. I think Powerpuff Girls, Catherine and I and Tara, there was a lot of racy in between the lines or turning lines from what the line was to something a little racier. And somewhere in the vault are some pretty incredible dialogue sessions between the girls and I. And that's one. And then the other, I think I was doing Rugrats. And I think this is a pretty unknown story, but I was doing Rugrats, Tommy Pickles, in the booth with, it might've been Chris Kavanaugh at the time. And it was early on. And the girls, Kat Susie and us girls, whatever. And I had just had a baby. I was pregnant. I was very pregnant, and I remember doing like time. He was like, "Hold on, your diapers. What's going on? Hold, please." And I like have contractions every.
Oh my God.
I don't know how long. And then the engineer would be like, all the producers were in there, be like, "E.G., you're having a lot of those." And I'm like, "I'm fine. My baby got to do. Hold, please." And then the next, I kept saying, "Well, no, I went to the doctors. And he said I was fine. I'm not in labor, but." That night, I had a baby, so I was actually in labor during Rugrats session. It's on tape.
That's amazing.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I had a weird
moon Rugrats brewing, popping out.
Wow.
Yeah, right on.
Right on.
Yeah, so the moral is, keep working.
I have a lot of favorite moments, but when we were working, we were doing, after a while, we started doing some Powerpuff sessions at Salami Studios. Do you remember that, E.G.? Mm. And then I was sitting in that lobby, I remember, and Mark Hamill walked in, and I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, it's Luke Skywalker. And I didn't say anything out loud, but I'm just sitting there like thinking, oh my God, And he comes right up to me and says, "Hi, I'm Mark, working with you today." And I was like, he was so talented. Yeah. He's just so amazing to work with, and the fact that he just really is so unassuming, and I just was like totally blown away.
He's the best voiceover artist. I mean, he's so talented.
He's such a good actor. He's a great actor.
Very good actor.
He would come up. We're both at DPN. He would come up to me and say, "Hey, Kath, did you know that your name comes up first when I type in Powerpuff Girls?" I mean, I'd be like, "Why is Mark?" What?
Yeah, why do you know more about my character than I do? He did that with me on Cowboys of Mumesa.
He's so sweet.
He's like, "You're the one with the red kerchief. I remember." And I was like, "You're Luke Skywalker." It was the same thing. "You're freaking Luke Skywalker." Why?
Wow.
He's right, remembering the Colorado kid.
He's a fan.
Moment that was sort of a strange. Generally speaking, I was able to get these things done relatively quickly, these sessions. And it was like, "Okay, Marty, let's get to this." And okay, the things I do for love. Okay, yeah, I think we know how to, certain things. But then a lot of the sounds, a lot of it was very, these vocal histrionics type of thing. And so sometimes it worked like a charm. So this was one moment when something very, it was one moment where Courage is supposed to pop his head out of the ground into some sort of scary forest. And he's looking around. And God bless him, Peter Fernandez, who was actually my vocal director, the voice of Speed Racer, and also a voice in many of the Courage shows, actually. Mm-hmm. God bless him. God rest his soul. He would say to me, "Okay, Marty, let's try this." And the word was, that was like, just give me a, So make it like he's a little scared because it's like a kind of a dark forest. And he goes, "No, actually, a little bit more like he's scared, but also curious." No, it's too much. It needs to be one syllable, just one syllable. So I literally at one point, now you're not sounding like Courage. You're losing courage. Bring courage back. We did this About, I swear, and I'm not exaggerating, about 25, 26 times. Yeah. Something like that. Over and over again, to the point where I was like, it was absolute madness. After the whole thing was finished, he said, you know what? I think we probably have it in the library anyway.
We got it on the first take.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
A little
goodness.
More purple. Yeah.
Y'all have heard Michael Bell's prank used to pull for people on the speed buggy. He did this to Alan Oppenheimer. They would do table reads.
I know. Yeah.
Yeah. Mel Blanc did the voice of Speed Buggy. But he would do the full spit at the table reads. So they would, whenever they had a guest star, they'd have him, hey, you want to sit next to Mel Blanc? Oh, that'd be comedy. So every time Speed Buggy would do that stuff, Mel would be like, blah, blah, blah. So they would always end up leaving drenched in sweat, spit.
Yeah. Yeah. I had that problem on Powerpuff a few times. Because I literally, the first day that we were finding out what other parts we played, because they said, I don't remember how the Gangrene Gang was cast originally.
You were a lot of the characters, right?
Yeah, it was me and Tom, basically, that played the whole gang.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, yeah, you're going to do Ace.
So I was doing Ace, that kind of thing is Ace, is Ace.
And then you play this one character, he doesn't really speak. Yeah. You know, he speaks in raspberries. So, and that was Grubber. That was Grubber. And so, you know, I had lines that literally just said P-H-B-B-T-T-T-T-T-T-T-T.
The Powerpuff Girls?
You know, those were my, you know, it's like, did I get it right? I never knew. You know,
like, oh, no,
that was perfect.
Did you ever find out? Did you get it right, Jeff?
I never did.
You got the gig.
Right? It was like, oh, my script is completely wet after page 3.
Well, there you have it, Jason. Great question for us. I think we have time for one more. Let's see if we can go out a really fun one. And here's one from Andrew. If the characters you voiced were superhero team, what would be their team name?
Superhero team.
Wow.
Wow. God, I don't know.
Oh boy.
The voice is in my head.
You know, if it was Johnny Bravo, I think it would just be Chick Picker Uppers Unite, something like that. You know, because I think it's so strange that all these kids that grew up watching Johnny Bravo, just in some ways, they just got a lot of bad information, you know, because
it was a
cartoon that made it about a buff dude that lives with his mother that rides a tiny bicycle and tries to pick up girls in every episode. So it was like, hey, Chick Pickers, Chick Pickuppers Unite. That would be his superhero.
I think my reasons I live alone. Forever single. Something below. Reasons I live alone.
I like it.
Candy does. Girls are like this.
Candy did one of my favorite superheroes when we were, it's not a superhero, but to me, it always makes me laugh. And this was at a different place at Nickelodeon, and Candy and I were doing like pretty much all the extra voices. And she played this one character that was just, he wanted it, they wanted it as Cher, and it was called Cher Leader.
She was a Cher Leader.
She was a cheerleader, but she was Cher, as Cher. So she would say, she would say,
Cher! That was it. Was triplets. They were triplets.
Hey, oh, man.
Different shades of Cher. I love that.
Cher.
Cher and Cher alike.
And I have favorites of everybody on here, just so you know. These are my favorite people. These are brilliant actors, and I have my favorite of all of yours. My superhero team name for all of you would be If I Had Half Your Talent.
Oh,
that's what I would say. Really, truly, I had half your talent. You guys are all brilliant.
Get off the screen.
I want to say, I just don't make me start imitating you, which I do when I hit my toe or when I do something. It's like I've got all of your voices set. So just
how
there
about
you go.
For the Courage team? I mean, it's only one.
Right. Oh, I love it.
How about Death of Anxiety?
Yeah.
You know what? We should have altered the question. Instead of a superhero team, we should have done the closer up. What would be if you're on a band? What would the band be called? And that would be the name of the band.
Death of Anxiety. Yes.
Yeah.
Death of Anxiety. Definitely. Metal. Heavy metal.
Mine would be Mojo's Heiny Whoopin' Clan.
Mojo Jojo. Oh my God.
I love it. Kick ass Mojo.
That's right. Kick ass Mojo.
We're going to the Mojo concert. Come on.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Come on,
I get it.
What's your band name, Kath?
My band name? Oh, I was just my superhero team would be the voices in my head. So I guess my band name. God, that's a hard one to figure out.
Did you say voices in your head?
Yeah, that would be
that's a nice band name.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah.
There you go.
I want to change mine too to One Man Army.
That's nice. I love
he did. That. He did say that a lot.
You know? Yeah, my personal band thing would be Thoughts. Cut it out. Get out of my head, like crazy thoughts.
Yeah. my band name would be. Can I do just one more? Can I just do one more? Let me try something. Can I do one more?
Can I just do one more?
Can I just do one more?
I can play younger.
But you have to have your hands like that and begging. Can I just do one more?
Andrew, there you have it. And GalaxyCon viewers, this has been my time with the stars of Cartoon Network, but it absolutely does not have to be yours. If you would like to chat with our guests like I have today or purchase an autograph, please sign up at GalaxyCon.com. And while you're there, we invite you to check our schedule of upcoming events just like this one. Panelists, it's been an absolute delight. Any final words before we take our leave?
Thank you for being fans.
It's so good to see you guys.
Thank you so much.
I love you guys.
God bless you all for being fans and keep your head up high.
Yes, you made me me.
Death of anxiety.
Death of anxiety.
Death of anxiety.
Love you guys so much.
It's been my absolute pleasure to serve you. Once again, thank you all for joining us on the GalaxyCon virtual stage. Thank you to our audience for joining us. And thank you for your great questions. Hope to see everybody again soon. Until then, bye-bye. Take care. And remember, folks, smiles are free, so spend them often.
Woo-hoo! Bye, guys.